Hey guys, what is going on? Welcome to episode 13 of the BFG Podcast. Tyler, we've got a packed show for you guys today. It's so packed, we're actually doing this on a Monday instead of a normal Sunday that we normally do this.
Yes. Which doesn't really mean it's packed, it means we're behind.
I just wanted to say packed just to make us look a little more professional instead of saying we're behind, because yes, it was my fault for yesterday, but we're still here today getting the stuff for you guys. Guys, we got a packed show, we got a whole bunch of things to talk about. We just should just jump right in. Unfortunately, some somber news, although it is some of this is still a little bit older, but we have to talk Stan Lee, just for who knows how long this is going to go. Just to start out, guys, obviously Stan Lee did pass away recently, and for those of you who don't know, obviously did a lot with Marvel. Loved his cameos so much. Minor spoiler, but it came out in the summer, so it's okay if we spoil it. He was even in the Teen Titans Go movie.
Yeah.
Because he loved cameos so much. That was great. But he did leave behind a legacy, I think, for all of us. Mm-hmm. Not even if you don't really follow comic books, but if you like games and whatnot in general,
yeah.
He was definitely one of the driving forces behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And, what can you say that hasn't already been said about this guy? He loved his fans. Even into his 90s, he was still traveling to conventions. I remember one of the big ones in Florida, MegaCon, that's always held in Orlando. He was there like every year. And I think last year was his last year going. And they did a big celebration for him and everything. The man just loves his fans more than anything in the world. And, I don't even know really what else to say that isn't already been said, that's not already known. Obviously left an impact on me. Captain America is my favorite Marvel character. And just the worlds he left behind and the quotes he left behind. And, all I can say is Excelsior. So.
Yeah. And especially now, it's like this is someone who even a little over 10 years ago, it would not have made nearly the same impact as it does now. But with the cinematic universe where it is, his legacy has become a lot more mainstream than
absolutely.
It used to be.
Absolutely. And it's just, obviously, you did mention the MCU in 2008 when Iron Man first came out. And that started it, sure. But there's still going to be a lot of people out there who, might be older, 60s or 70s, who obviously don't deal a lot with Marvel movies or anything anymore, but we'll know Stan Lee that he passed away because they remember reading the comic books, once upon a time in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on and so forth to kind of bring him back up. And I think this one kind of affected everybody just in general, because it's like, you could say he's a comic book guy, what did he do, but he left behind a good world for people to just kind of escape to. And even if the MCU wasn't a thing, it would still be fun. Yeah, Marvel was in trouble in the early 90s. That's why Fox bought, a handful of the properties. Sony obviously got their hands on Spider-Man and a few others. But, I keep repeating myself. What else can you already say about this
thing,
Tyler? So,
everybody's talked about it. It's,
yes, absolutely. So, guys, Stan Lee, Excelsior, look forward to seeing. It was confirmed, Tyler, that he did already film his cameo for the new Avengers movie coming out.
I had heard that he had filmed his cameos for at least two or three more.
I didn't hear that. I just heard for at least Avengers. So,
okay.
Obviously, I think we're most likely going to see it as soon as it hits theaters.
Yeah.
That the entire theater is going to start either crying or clapping or both as soon as they see it. And I did actually see one idea online to kind of keep his image going, is that even though he's not going to be there physically to do cameos anymore in his movies, Marvel could put like a photo somewhere of him, or have like a character say Excelsior or something, just to still keep that legacy alive with him somewhere.
Right.
Because I don't think he'd be one that would want himself CG'd in there, even as a background character not doing anything. I don't think that'd be a good way to honor him, and is have that or a stand-in double or something. Just, put a picture of him in there somewhere, have a character say one of his quotes that he loved to say, even outside of Excelsior, and just kind of go from there.
Yeah.
So I really, I mean, I can sit here all day and talk Stanley, but, you know, again, Tyler, what would you like to add before we kind of move on to more happy stuff?
So I don't know that I have anything to add that hasn't been said.
Yeah, so obviously we just got to give our thoughts to Stanley on this one and his family and for the wonderful legacy left behind. And, you know, really inspired us to kind of keep going with comics. Like, your brother actually is a big comic book guy, and he's mm-hmm. creating comics. I don't know if he got any of his inspiration from Stanley, but
yeah,
you know, it was still just one of those things. So I think moving on, because mm-hmm. you know, Stanley, thank you for everything. We got two movies to talk about, and we got a trailer to talk about. So why don't we start with this trailer, Tyler? And I gotta be honest, when they first started talking about this movie, I had no idea that they were actually going to do this. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an April Fool's joke. I thought this was going to be crazy. Tyler, we are officially getting a Detective Pikachu movie with Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool himself.
And see, here's the thing. I didn't even think that it was fake. I didn't think it wasn't going to happen. I thought it was going to be like one of those kitschy, like, Japan only releases. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, kind of how they did with Attack on Titan?
Yes.
Where, like, they made it and it was supposed to be a big deal over there, and then we got just kind of a translation of it.
Right.
I was thinking it was going to be kind of something like that. And, you know, it was going to be a little bit more like live action, but a little bit more like cartoony and less of a budget behind it and stuff like that. I think what really threw me for a loop was that it's an American movie with Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu.
And, you know, I can see where you're coming from on that standpoint, but I think for me, it's that this thing's actually getting made.
Yeah.
First and foremost, whether it was a Japan exclusive that we got a translation for or you know, an official American-made movie, I think it was the fanfare behind it. And actually, you know, I don't know, I completely forgot, but Detective Pikachu the game actually came out this year, this past March. And I was kind of looking at things, and I thought for sure that it came out sometime in 2017. Mm-hmm. But it was this, I think it was like mid-March, March 18th of this year. And so obviously Nintendo WB is trying to capitalize on that, because it would be, you know, I mean, it's one way for them to make money, sure. And, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to get Danny DeVito to do Pikachu, but it's going to be different. And they're shooting for a PG-13 rating. Or it's
really?
It's looking like a PG-13 rating.
I was thinking PG.
No, if they put PG-13, Tyler, I'm sure you know this, but that means one time in that movie, we could get Pikachu as Ryan Reynolds, mind you. I don't know if you know Ryan Reynolds is going to voice Pikachu. Could say the F word and still have it be PG-13.
I don't care.
That to me is amazing. I don't care if you don't care, because I care, so I'll care for both of us.
Okay.
So.
I mean, I hope that it's good. The trailer got me really hopeful for it. I'm excited. But I don't think that how much he swears as Pikachu has any bearing on how good the movie's going to be.
No, I'm not saying that's going to make it a good movie or a bad movie. I'm just saying it's going to be interesting seeing Pikachu as Ryan Reynolds say a curse word in general. It could be rated PG, it could be rated G for all I care. It's still going to be interesting to me.
Just one of those things you want to happen?
It is. It's like, I kind of think of an example like this. There is a convention here in Florida, another one in Orlando, called Ranger Stop. It is a Power Rangers only convention. It's a bit smaller than the Power Morphicon that's in California every other year.
Yeah.
But they have a showing that's usually Friday night, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Friday night, it's like, it's called Rangers After Dark.
Okay.
And essentially what it is you don't bring your kids to it, because it's the Rangers kind of talking about stories and you know, pretty much being what they are, you know, adults and then young teens from when they were on the show and whatnot. And to me, you know, obviously I don't care, but it's just kind of interesting to see these guys that you grew up idolizing talking about what they did behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing with the Pikachu for me. It's like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see this little pink mouse potentially drop an F-bomb. And to me, I'm just going to lose my mind, because that's just... But that has no bearing on me if the movie's going to be good or bad. If he doesn't do it, he doesn't do it. I don't care. I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. I am cautiously optimistic. I've said that about a few other movies. I said that about Teen Titans Go, and honestly, it wasn't great, but I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
So could this be our bad summer movie of 2019, or could this be our Teen Titans Go movie of summer 2019, where we think it's going to be bad, and it turns out at least halfway decent?
I think it's going to be great. I'm excited.
You think every movie's going
to
be
great. I do think every movie's going to be great. I would rather go in with high expectations than to go in with that, like, fanboy mentality of, like, oh, man, this is going to suck.
Hey, you know what? I've been doing a little better at that because, you know, obviously we talked Teen Titans Go recently. Mm-hmm. You know, the show isn't that good, but the movie was actually halfway decent.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try for next year to just kind of go in there more optimistic instead of saying something's crap.
And, okay, speaking of...
Uh-oh.
The fanboy mentality.
Oh boy, here we go.
And changing your mind.
Okay.
I was going to save this for after. I told you I had a surprise for you.
You have a surprise. That's two topics down.
I was going to save it for after Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay.
But I think it would fit better now.
And keep in mind, guys, I have no idea what this is. We were texting about topics for the show. Tyler said he had a surprise. I have no idea because, you know, we like to keep everything genuine. So we don't talk about any of this stuff until the show.
I don't know if you... got if you saw this or if you had any thoughts about it already, but Amazon Prime members had the opportunity to get tickets for a pre-release showing of Aquaman.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't know if you have any plans already. If you do have plans, this might go really badly, but we have tickets to see Aquaman a week before it comes out in theaters.
I am quite interested in that. So, okay. Well, is Haven going to be joining us with this one?
No, it'll be you and I.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I am excited. I am excited to see that because, again, with Aquaman, you know, obviously I'm more of a Marvel fan. I'm looking forward to seeing Aquaman. I think it looks good. Jason Momoa, I love the guy. You know, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like another one that loves his fans. So... we can talk about Aquaman on the show before it comes
I know.
Out.
This is going to be our first opportunity to actually review a movie before it hits theaters. We can be the guys with, like, a jump on things.
So we are moving up in the world again.
Yeah.
Hooray for us. So thank you for that, Josh. I'm excited. We're going to see Aquaman.
Yeah, it's December 15th, I think we're going.
So we're
it'll be a Saturday.
Okay.
So we can just talk about it the next day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if that fits into like our normal schedule, but if not, maybe we can make a special exception.
Yeah, I think we should.
To get our review out before the movie hits theaters.
That's right, because, you know, we're so credited.
all of you that listen to us.
Yes.
There might not be many, but...
hey, we're trying.
Those of you that do value our opinion, we'll have it up before the general...
general release. We will have it up, but we'll talk about it. It may be a half hour, maybe an hour, who knows, but we will definitely talk about it. And it's going to be fresh in our minds, too, which is good.
Yeah.
So
we have that problem sometimes where, like, we'll watch a movie and we'll want to talk about it, but then by the time our podcast rolls back around, we'll be like,
about that. Sorry, I'm yawning. I got up early today. I have a busy day today. I had a busy day last night.
Which, speaking of movies not quite being fresh in our minds, our next movie is The Grinch.
So,
which I'm going spoiler-free on purpose because Mike requested it.
Yes.
And I normally go spoiler-free anyway. That's kind of my thing. Mike likes to do like these deep dives and talk about every little moment that he liked and disliked. And I kind of like to be vague enough that I don't spoil anything for you guys that want to see it.
And we've got something to talk about later that I saw that you didn't see that I'm going to go spoiler-free on.
Okay.
For a certain mid-season finale. But yeah, so The Grinch. And the only reason I've not seen it yet, I'm actually going to be seeing it probably this week or next week. I just had a few other movies. Obviously, the next movie we're going to talk mm-hmm. about was a little more of a priority for me.
Yeah.
But The Grinch came out, voiced by Doctor Strange himself, so that's kind of interesting. So,
interestingly, another big high-profile one that I assumed we would be talking about is The Crimes of Grindelwald, and I haven't seen that yet either.
Honestly, neither have I. We should. We got to work that into our schedule.
All right.
We're not done with 2007, whatever year.
No, we got movies. Because you know, at the end of the year, we got to do like our lists. We're gonna have like top 10 lists for like video games, movies, things like that.
Absolutely.
So we got to compare those. But first, we actually have to see all the movies we want to see this year.
Yes.
So we have some catching up to do. So I don't know. We might cover Crimes of Grindelwald real quick. Next podcast or something if we get around to seeing it.
Yes.
But at this point, I feel like, you know, the fans that are eager to see it have probably seen it. Because it's what? In its third week? Second week?
Second week, I believe.
Oh, okay. It's not that far out. depending on how soon we see it, we might be able to talk about it some.
We'll fit it in.
But anyway, so I saw The Grinch with Haven and her family. And my initial impression was that it's not... It didn't impress me,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily because I thought it was bad, but because of the pedigree behind it. Because coming from Illumination, I was thinking the guys that made Despicable Me should be able to make a really despicable Grinch too. And that, like, my thought process was, as good as they've done with the Despicable Me movies, they should be really good at making a Grinch. It seemed like a really natural fit. And strangely, he kind of didn't seem like despicable enough. It didn't seem like real creative or anything. This one I feel like kind of suffered from almost feeling too sweet. He didn't feel as much like a Grinch as I thought he should. Like, the story is more or less basically the same.
They just took a
they've taken
30-minute special to a...
Yeah, they've taken the classic book and TV special and turned it into about an hour and a half film. Not quite. I think it ended up being like 84 minutes or something. It's a little bit shorter. But they just expanded this story. So they've added a lot in about kind of like his relationship with some of the Whos down in Whoville and stuff like that. But I don't know. It like I said, it wasn't even that it was a bad movie. I feel like it just didn't quite strike home to me. Because I feel like the people behind it normally do better. I feel like it seemed kind of like a... It seemed like it was a little bit phoned in.
You know, which is kind of really upsetting for me, because my sister absolutely adores The Grinch. You know, she's not a big Christmas person, but she loves The Grinch for obvious reasons. And, you know, she enjoyed the movie, but I think she might have been a little more biased because of how much she does enjoy The Grinch. And, you know, you're not the only one to say that. I was actually talking to a friend of mine yesterday during the game, and she said the same thing. She was saying, you know, it was very different. It was not as Grinchy as it could have been.
Yeah.
And it's like, did they possibly tone it down a little bit for kids? But it's like, the Grinch itself is for kids. And, you know, it does, well, obviously...
Let me put it this way. He didn't seem like necessarily a Grinch. Mm-hmm. He seemed like kind of a dude that just woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He was just a little bit grumpy. But at the end of the day, he seemed kind of one of those, you know, like, grumpy but with a heart of gold. Because, I mean, they expand a lot more with, like, him and his dog, and, like, he cares for his dog and stuff like that. He still has his dog, like, running around doing stuff for him and things like that. But, you know, and then he gets, like, the one you've seen in the trailers. Like, he gets, like, the giant, like, the really fat reindeer.
Yeah.
And he kind of, that becomes, like, a surrogate pet almost. And so, but, you know, I mean, there's even scenes in the movie where, like, he's, like, he invites them up into bed with him. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, they all, like, sleep in this bed. And there's, like, this goofy joke where he gets squished by the reindeer and all this stuff, you know. And it doesn't really show him being, like, a mean one, you know. Or even, like, the Grinch the way you know him. He just kind of seems grumpy, like he doesn't really like Christmas.
And that's really upsetting, considering that the original cartoon, and even the Jim Carrey movie from 99, 2000, something like that, you know, like, that was really good. I mean, obviously the cartoon's a classic. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody likes the cartoon. And the Jim Carrey movie is really good, too. So, I guess, you know, I really, after hearing this, I really hate to say this, especially with a company like Illumination, more or less just kind of phoning it in to make some money, since we haven't really gotten anything new Grinch in a while. And obviously, Grinch is popular every Christmas.
Yeah.
It's never really... I mean, even kind of thinking about it, like, obviously Dr. Seuss isn't going anywhere, the Cat in the Hat, but, you know, it's like every year for Christmas, I see new Grinch stuff in stores. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember my sister, again, she actually went to eBay and bought a giant inflatable Grinch.
Yeah.
And it cost her a pretty penny because they don't make them anymore. This year, it was either this year or last year, she bought that a couple years ago, they just started making them again. So obviously there's a demand for this stuff, even more so than Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat or anything like that. And, you know, Universal Studios, they were actually just there this past weekend. You know, they were there for, like, the Grinch Fest, you know, for Christmas. And, you know, they do special things around this time of year where you can have breakfast with the Grinch. And, you know, you're literally eating Grinch stuff. IHOP, whatever the heck it's called now. They have, like, it was a tie-in with the movie, of course, but they have Grinch-related pancakes and hot chocolate, which I actually had. The pancakes were, like, ooh, they were really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think with the movie, it's because we haven't gotten anything new Grinch in a while. And, you know, they obviously play the Grinch special every year. Mm-hmm. A lot, it's, like, right up there. I mean, maybe a little more than the Charlie Brown Christmas special, they play it. Because I think so many people now just kind of go along with the Grinch. And I hate to say it as a phone, and I'm going to see it still because, you know, I enjoy the Grinch too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not the only one to say that. Like, my friend Sherry, she was saying the same thing. Like, it didn't seem like it had the same, you know, like, level. And, you know, it's not really a reboot of sorts. Like, the Power Rangers movie that came out last year, that was a reboot, just a little darker. You can't really reboot the Grinch. I mean, I don't think you can. That's a little harder to do. So, I don't know.
And I mean, that's not even to say that it's all bad. Like, I mean,
no, not at all.
It had its funny moments, and they expand a lot more on the Whos. They're like, you know, like the little Cindy Lou Who, she's like adorable, you know, and she's like, it's very cute and it's funny, but it, for me, it didn't really resonate. I guess at the end of the day, if I was putting a number on it, I'd say, like, 6.5.
Okay.
For me.
So, I mean, it's a little lower than you'd expect, especially from a company like Illumination, and especially with an icon that is the Grinch, but it still could be... Is it still worth seeing? I mean, is it like a $5 movie night or wait for
something
on a Redbox, Netflix?
If you could go to, like, a matinee or something, I'd say you're not wasting your money. But I was disappointed based on what I expected from Illumination.
Well, there you have it. But I think this is a good time to transition to the next one that I don't think we're going to be as tough on. And we saw this one actually a little bit early, surprisingly. I think it was supposed to come out on Thursday or Friday. We saw it on Tuesday, Monday?
It came out on Wednesday, and we saw it Tuesday night. Which, I mean, it's weird, because it's like, they used to do midnight releases, and then it became like midnight releases, but it was like 10 o'clock. And now it's basically just like, it comes out on, you know, this day, but you can watch it the previous afternoon.
And of
you
course,
know,
and of course, the movie we're talking about is Wreck-It Ralph 2 Breaks the Internet. I don't think we mentioned.
No, we haven't mentioned the name yet. It's Wreck-It Ralph 2
Breaks the Internet.
Yes, Ralph Breaks the Internet. But it's like, it's supposed to come out Wednesday, and we saw it Tuesday afternoon. It was what, 7 o'clock showing,
yeah,
something like that. So, you know, it wasn't even like a late showing or anything. Or eight. It was eight. But, you know, it wasn't even like we had to stay out till midnight to see it, which is just common now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, should I let you lead off or should I?
You know, I've been leading off. You go ahead and take this one.
So, Wreck-It Ralph 2, I feel like it's a really solid movie. Not quite as good as the first one.
No.
I feel like my problem with this one was primarily that, and I talked about this with Haven too. Haven kind of agreed with me, so I'm interested to see if you'll kind of have the same thought. My problem with this is kind of the same problem I had with Zootopia, where it feels like sometimes they undermine the humor and just the fun story with a really strong, like, message film. Where,
yeah, I agree with that.
In Zootopia, it was, you know, the idea about acceptance and cultural differences and all that. In this one, the main idea is about, like, accepting change.
Yes.
About kind of being secure enough in yourself to accept the things going on around you. So, like, I guess confidence in yourself, but also things change and that's okay, are kind of the two big messages that they try to get across.
Yeah, yeah,
and
absolutely.
And I feel like it got so heavy-handed that sometimes it kind of undermined the humor and the story. Not to say that it wasn't there. I mean, it definitely, you know, the movie progressed at a good pace. And it was funny. It was entertaining. But I feel like there were moments where things that should have been funny or things that should have just been there to, like, progress the story became, like, a preachy moment instead.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, for the message that was there for the movie, especially the last part when a decision was made, and of course I'm going to spoil it for this, I'm trying to watch it. You know, that was a very good thing that, that some people do need to accept and understand. And I thought the concept of the movie very much was really good. I thought that they did play a good part in it, but I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I was spoiling a lot of it. That's the problem. I should have thought this through a little more, and we knew we were going to talk about this too. It was one of those movies where I think they kind of hit gold with the first one. And yes, they needed to put a message, because all Disney movies got to have some sort of message. But yeah. I agree with Tyler that this one is a little more heavy on the message rather than just allowing the movie to breathe and to go and to do its thing. And, you know, a couple of the characters that were in the first one are kind of there and then pushed to the side a little bit because they had to focus on some other things. And of course we were introduced to plenty of new characters throughout.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, obviously the big one of the two big messages is about friendship and what one is willing to do for the other one and whatnot. And you know, it makes sense. It makes sense. I can't really think of much more to say without spoiling it.
So
please help me out here.
It was, and again, I'm trying, you know, I wanna get the point across that I did enjoy it. I liked it a lot. It just, it, well, let me, so like Inside Out is a good example, because, and that's something Pixar kind of excels at to begin with, but movies like Inside Out and the first Toy Story and stuff like that, they pack a real emotional punch.
Yes,
but I feel like they do that without sacrificing the rest of the movie. They're really good at balancing the humor with the emotional moments, and it doesn't come off as, like, campy or preaching. And I feel like Wreck-It Ralph 2 did not quite succeed on that level. I feel like it tried to have funny moments, but kind of fell into this trap of, like, we need to get this message across, and we have to be really explicit about it without, you know... They weren't able to find that balance between humor and emotion.
Yeah, I mean, because there were definitely times where it was like, okay, you have the humor, and then it just kind of like abruptly stopped for the message. And then the message abruptly stopped and the humor picked back up.
Yeah.
So it was kind of muddled in that aspect. Not to say it's not a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously it was gorgeous, especially when they went in the internet and kind of how they made that look and the references that were in there.
And so the first little bit they're reestablishing. It's been 6 years since the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some, like, reestablishing stuff. And I feel like that didn't work for me at all. The first, like, 15 minutes or so were kind of, like, boring to me. And they felt like it didn't even feel, like, really well written.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they got into the internet and, like, the story actually begins, I was sold a little bit more. I was having a lot more fun with it.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
You know, aside from what we've been talking about, but, like, I was enjoying it a lot more once they got into the internet. And the new characters, I think, are all, like, really, really good, too. It wasn't, like, you know, even a problem of, like, the new characters weren't as dynamic as the old ones. Because, like, Ralph and Vanellope, you know, they meet, like, a hot race car driver that's played by Gal Gadot. And that was, I mean, she's, like, a super solid character. Spamly, and I don't remember, like, the guy that makes the virus.
Oh,
There's, like, this almost like a Jabba the Hutt-looking guy with, like, another head sticking out of his neck.
Mm.
And they all felt like interesting characters, and I had a lot of fun with them. And also, it goes completely bonkers, without going into spoiler territory. I mean, there's not the primary antagonist, because I think the primary antagonist is kind of just the message, that idea of, like, change and stuff, but the villain at the end, the big bad guy at the end, was just one of the most bonkers things I've seen in a Disney movie for a while. It was huge different. And ridiculous and hilarious and kind of creepy, but
creepy.
But it was a lot of fun, and I really liked kind of the design and the characters and stuff like that. So I'd say it was I enjoyed it a lot more than The Grinch.
Well, I'm Grinch, so I can say the same thing. But I think with me, you know, I agree with you. When they got on the internet and they started doing things there, you know, I thought that really worked. And then even down to, we all saw it in the trailer, but when Vanellope, you know, ran into the Disney princesses. And actually all the original voice actresses for those princesses gave them their voice.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very cool. You know, I don't know what the budget was for that to get every single one of them in. But I guess for me, the first one was just, go ahead, Ty.
I feel like this was one of those, it's not as bad as some of the others I've seen, but this was one of those movies where the best moments of the movie are kind of spoiled in the trailer.
Yeah.
That's one, there was enough promotion for it. There were enough like unique trailers and different promotional materials that I feel like most, not all, there were some really good moments in the movie, but most of the really memorable moments for me are moments that you've seen leading up to this movie.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. And, you know, I don't want to say I was let down by this movie, but I definitely had a bit higher expectations just because of how good the first one was. Mm-hmm. And even just taking out the video game aspect of it, which, you know, I guess I could kind of see why, you know, the first one focused more on video games, this one focused more on internet.
Yeah.
But I think I honestly had higher expectations that weren't lived up to. Mm-hmm. Again, not saying that it's a bad movie by any means and don't go see it, but it definitely, if they do a third one, which there's a little bit of possibility, maybe, sort of, kind of, but...
Well, I think that's another one of those things that's weird for me is they go to the internet, and all these references are about the internet, and it's very self-referential. They talk a lot about like the changing landscape of the internet and how, you know, every 10 seconds or something, I think it was 10 seconds in the movie or something like that, they were saying there's a new trend and like new viral videos and things like that, and just how quickly everything changes on the internet. But in doing that, they kind of fell into their own trap, because I feel like some of the references they make and some of like the internet spaces that they portray in the movie are already kind of like obsolete territories on their own, or their territories that might still be used, but they tried to use them in a way that they're not really used for to make it kid friendly or something like that. I feel like there were at least a handful of jokes in there that seem to fall into the exact problem that they're trying to like reference in the movie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're talking about like, because you know, Ralph is getting thrown off by how new and everything is and how everything changes so fast. But I feel like the movie itself kind of makes some references that younger audiences might not get already because of how fast the internet landscape does change.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, I think I've got my points across on this one. If I had to rate it, I'd probably give it a solid 7, 7.5 out of 10.
I was going to say 7.5.
Yeah, so definitely worth seeing. Didn't really live up to the hype. But then again, you know, especially for me, for this movie, I might be able to say, yeah, I kept my expectations a bit higher than maybe average people would on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would still say it's good. And I would still say it's worth seeing, but just know it's not as good as the first one. At least in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
So tell you give me 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet. Our next topic is a Tyler based topic. Tell us about some board games. What have you been playing recently?
Okay.
More excited for this one than the Grinch and Wreck-It Ralph 2.
So here's the thing. I know I've talked about this before. Probably pretty much every time I bring up board games, I bring up Time Stories.
Yes.
There's it's not like new anymore, but the newest expansion is Pirates. It's a Pirates expansion.
Okay.
And my brothers, I purposely put off getting it because my brother said they wanted to do it for my birthday. So one of my brothers got it, and we played it on my birthday, and it was pretty much the best thing ever.
Right.
And if I know I've talked about it a lot before, but if you're not familiar, Time Stories, they've dubbed it a dexploration game, because it's kind of like a role-playing experience where you pick like avatars. They're called receptacles, but you pick these avatars and you go through different periods in time solving mysteries and figuring out like anomalies to progress forward. But it's all serialized. So like the next expansion furthers like stories and furthers like the story that you're in, even though you're like dropping into different time periods. You come back to base and there's like, it tells you like what's going on. But one of the really unique things is as you play this game, you actually like hold on to things. So each expansion, you know, you might pull a card and it'll say, you know, this is a secret card. Only you know about this. Take it with you. Don't tell anyone else in your party. Okay. Even it's all cooperative. Like you're all playing together and you're all working toward the same goal. But there are still moments where it'll say, only you know about this. Don't tell the people you're working with. Or you, the group might get a card that says, congratulations, you guys found this. Hold on to it and use it in future adventures and things like that. And as it progressed, and I think it's kind of a necessary thing, and I didn't mind it, but the first few were really good about setting up this story and this, you know, like time jumping aspect. And then after the first three or four, they started doing like one or two that were just kind of filler. Like we would drop into a loop and we would play through the adventure, but it didn't really have anything to do with the story or the looping. It was just like a standalone thing. And then like another adventure or two later, you know, it would get back and get like really deep and heavy with the story and stuff. And we had come off like two of those. We had had like a really good like story driven one. And then we had like two or three expansions that were just kind of felt like filler. Like they were fun. They were good. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, you could tell that they were just kind of plotting forward a little bit. And this one was like so good. Mm-hmm. This one delved really deep into some of the schisms that have formed in this time agency that we're with. And another group, almost like a, it's not the Illuminati, but kind of an Illuminati type group that's like fighting, you know, against the time agency and stuff like that. And at the end, we had like an ultimate choice that severely changed the game for us. And we're, at least most of my group, my brothers and I, were very heavy into like the thematic aspect. So I don't know what would have happened if we had played the deck differently and taken different choices. But at the end, we got a card that said critical success. And instead of like tallying up points and telling us, you know, wait for the next one, mm-hmm. we actually got like a really crazy ending where they gave us like a critical success, but then they said, also take this card from the deck. And when we took that card, it gave us more exposition about like what happened to us when we returned from the time loop. And then that led us to like a website with like a whole new puzzle on it. And that website said, if you came to this website because of your critical success, take this card from the next deck. And so when the next expansion comes out, we've already got like a first set of instructions, like a card we're supposed to take from that deck before we even start playing. And so this kind of like weaving, like all like this connected gameplay where it all ties into each other and it becomes like one campaign, but it's all based on just kind of like more or less choose your own adventure style deck exploring has it. I know some people in like reviews I was reading and stuff like that have said it lost its touch after a little bit for their group, but this game just keeps on being exciting to me. The way they present the puzzles and the way that you progress in this story is just the coolest thing to me. And the new pirate one just does so much. Like it goes back in a big way to like the central conflict in this game with between the time agency and this conflicting group, and so it's really cool to kind of have that back and be like, you know, back in the thick of it rather than just playing like filler expansions. Two big thumbs up for the new one. I'm blanking on the name and it's driving me crazy. I've got it like right in the other room, but it's the Pirates expansion, whatever it was. But anyway, yeah. So if you get a chance, if you haven't picked up Time Stories, you really need to. And if you have, the newest expansion is the best one in probably like three or four expansions. I can highly recommend that one. The other one we've been playing is we do a lot of escape rooms, like in just around. And we did a couple more of those. Those are pretty cool. But they also do like boxed escape rooms now.
Okay.
There's a series called Exit, and those are all like standalone escape games. And those, they're meant to be played once. Like, you know, to solve some of the puzzles, you have to like cut up cards or tear things and stuff like that. And those are fine. Those are good. They're entertaining, and I liked doing them. There's another series called Unlock. And Unlock is actually made by either the same company or a subsidiary of the company that makes Time Stories. And but they've all been standalone. You know, it's like you solve the puzzles. And it's another kind of like deck exploring. Like, they call it Escape. Kind of like an escape room in a box, but it's kind of the same idea as Time Stories. Like, you explore a deck and find clues and puzzles on these cards and things. But this one, we did a pirate-themed unlock box.
Okay.
And at the end of that, once we solved it, it said we had found the treasure, but then it said unless, and it told us to pick another card. And when we picked that card, there was another clue on it. And that clue told us how to solve a whole nother puzzle on these cards that we hadn't even realized was on the cards. Like, these little, like, discrete clues on these cards that we didn't even realize were clues until we get the mission complete card. And I thought that was super cool. And we didn't have time. I had to come home, but we pretty much put the box away there, and we're like, we'll do more of that, like, next time I come over. But so that was super cool, too. But I looked it up whenever I left, and they said that it does actually tie into other boxes. So I'm thinking I might have to buy a few more of those to kind of get the whole story. But no, so that was really cool too. So the Unlock escape boxes are really solid experiences if you're looking for something not just a good board game, but also something involving and quick. Because the Unlock boxes are easy to figure out, they're easy to play, but they're also, you know, you get 60 minutes. You download an app that goes with the cards, and you have 60 minutes to escape. And all, like, the hints, there's like a hint system and codes and machines and all that in this app. So it ties in really well, and it counts down your 60 minutes for you, just like a real escape room. And they're not expensive. I mean, I think you can get them for like somewhere between 10 and 15 bucks each. So it's not even like a big like cost investment either. So if you're interested in something you could play like with a group or with your family or something, those are a pretty cheap and fun way to kind of get into the digital, or not digital, but like board game, escape game.
Okay. You guys have just been having so much fun. I know you post about it on our Instagram page a lot. So,
mm-hmm. So yeah. That's another thing. I know we've mentioned it every episode, but if you have not yet, if you hop on our Facebook, if you follow us on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, I try to be active on there. Sometimes I'm more active, sometimes I'm less active, but I try to keep it updated with like games that we're playing, board games, video games, movies, things like that, as we're doing things. So make sure to check that out if you're interested in kind of like our newest adventures and my thoughts on them.
And I will try to be more active on it too. The past few weeks, honestly, the past couple of months, just been a little rockety on my end and things. That's why we had to miss a couple of weeks of the episode or of the show. But I'm going to try to get more active on it, especially now with getting closer to Christmas, my favorite time of year. If I'm out walking and I see cool houses, I'm going to take some pictures. I love seeing the lights. Favorite thing.
Yeah.
Do you have anything more you want to add to that before we get to a mid-season finale that I want to chat about real quick?
I don't think, at least not about board games.
Okay.
I think we're good to segue.
All right, so a mid-season finale happened just last night, so it's nice and fresh up in here. And that is The Walking Dead. Season 9.5 just ended. And Tyler, I know you've told me a million times, where did you leave off before you stopped watching it?
Yeah. I believe it was the end of season 5.
Okay,
so let me tell you, actually, let me break it down for you.
Break it down for me.
The last episode I watched, I think it was the season 6 opener.
Okay.
Was the last one I had watched. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you remember. It started out and they're like in the, whatever, some facility. And
there are a lot of facilities.
well, I'm going to get there. It was supposed to be like a safe haven. They're like traveling the railroad tracks, and they find this place that has been advertised as like a sanctuary.
Terminus.
Maybe.
Okay.
And they get there, and it turns out that they're all, like, crazy people.
Terminus.
And the episode that if I remember it, the last one I watched was, it opens with them, they've got them all with their heads, like, hung over a trough.
Yep.
And they're about to, like, lob off their heads.
Yes. Kind of wherever you are.
And they get, like, locked in one like a storage unit. Mm-hmm. And if I remember right, it was like, at this point we're like 3 or 4 years out, so I'm gonna say this is an okay spoiler to go ahead and say.
Yes, you're a couple years out.
I believe it was like an episode or two before they kill Glenn. Cause I remember, like, shortly after I stopped watching, there was like a big thing about, like, you know, spoiler, someone dies in The Walking Dead. And I was like, oh, well, I shouldn't read these spoilers because I'm going to get back to it. And then I never did.
So if you got right before Glenn, it was right before Negan, like, made his first appearance. He was he was mentioned. So where they've ascended here is, you know, this really isn't a big, big, big spoiler, but they're pretty much done with Negan in this season. And there were two time jumps. And even I'll say, and Tyler, you know, I don't know how many people know, but I don't watch a lot of TV anymore. I really don't. I watch a lot of what, you know, 90s stuff, cartoons and whatnot. But
yeah. We don't watch a lot of current TV.
Yes, thank you.
We both have our classics that we go back to and return to a lot, but...
But for Walking Dead, that's something I've been watching for a while. So I've always watched, and even I'll say, you know, Negan's one of my favorite characters, and you know I've got a big man crush on Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Mm-hmm. But I'll even say that the past couple seasons were a little bit run of the mill, a little bit, you know, they were the same. They were good.
Starting to get into, like, just filler.
You know, we've seen this before. But the season that they're on now, especially with this mid season finale, like, I'm really excited for February when season 9 part 2 comes up. And they're on the next batch that is in the comics. They're somewhat following it the same. They just ran into their new enemy. And, you know, it ended with a cliffhanger. Someone does die, a pretty major character. I'm not going to spoil it. I'll tell you, you know, when the camera's off.
I think I already know.
Okay.
Well, I'm far enough out at this point that if spoilers come up, I'm not too...
Too worried about it.
I'm not really distressed about, like, not finding out. Normally, I don't want to know. People want to tell me about, like, video games and movies, and I'm like, no, I'm going to get to that. Like, don't tell me. One of my buddies at the school where I work keeps wanting to talk about Red Dead Redemption 2, and I'm like, no, it's coming, I promise. I'm going to play it. Don't tell me. But this one, like I said, I'm far enough out that I'm like, I don't really mind the spoilers. If I get back to it, I'll watch it for entertainment purposes, but... I'm not too worried about it. So I think I already read about what happened a night or two ago.
So it's not a spoiler here, but yeah, a major character does die in a very different kind of, I mean, I don't want to say different kind of way, but it was a way that if you don't read the comics or you don't follow the comics, then it is kind of a surprise, especially what they're about to deal with. And it ended with them getting surrounded by the new enemy that I'm not going to mention. They're called the Whisperers, but I'm not going to mention, you know, who they are or what they do. I'm ahead of the comics. I'm caught up in the comics. So yeah. I know essentially, well, I don't want to say I know what happens because, you know, they changed the comics from the show quite a bit. But, like, I'm at in the comics, they're already past the Whisperers.
I meant to ask.
Yes.
How far along do they kind of follow the comics? Because I remember... I had read to a certain point in the comics, too, and I remember watching the show and thinking, oh, it matches up pretty well as far as I've watched.
So it really depends, because obviously there's a lot of characters in the show that are not in the comics.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Daryl's one of them, Tara's another one of them, and then they kind of change some things around.
Like, I know characters are different. They introduce characters and, you know, get rid of characters at different points.
Oh, yes.
But as far as, like, the primary story beats... About, you know, like, whenever they go to the prison, and when they first go to... Was it just called Sanctuary with the governor?
I broke your pen.
It's okay.
Okay. The Sanctuary with Negan, yes, it was called that. But, like, for where you were mentioning with Terminus is not in the comics. That was all original.
Right.
So, but what they... when they went to Alexandria and the Hilltop and the Sanctuary with Negan, that's all in the comics. Oceanside, where it was just the women, that's not in the comics. There is no Oceanside.
Mm-hmm.
and then, you know, what they're dealing now with the Whispers. And then in the new episodes, both Daryl and Michonne have, like, these scars of X's that haven't been explained yet. That's not in the comics. So that's going to be interesting to see what they do. Mm-hmm. In the comics that are, is a little different now, something played out the same that I don't want to mention that, you know, if you read the comics, you might know with Negan that what happened in the comics, it started in the show this past episode, but was a little different. And yeah. I'm not going to mention what it was or what happened. So they follow it to an extent, but with what they're dealing with now is a little bit different because the death that happened didn't happen like that in the comic. Yeah. It is a little bit different. So I think Walking Dead is back. You know, they have a new showrunner this season. So I see a change in it. Mm-hmm. You know, even with two time jumps in it. And I think it's bad because, like, I'm excited for February now because I want to know what happens. I want to see what else they change. And, you know, if they do something, I'm going to be very upset, but it follows the comics. This is not a spoiler, but there could very well be, for the season finale, three major deaths. And I'm going to be pissed off. Obviously, I'm not going to mention who. I'm not going to mention how. I'm not going to mention why. But I will be very upset about these deaths. But, I mean, it follows the comics. And it was such an iconic moment that I think it's honestly going to happen. Because it was like when Negan bashed Glenn's head in a couple seasons ago. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened in the comic. You know, so if you guys got off the Walking Dead track, then go back, honestly, you know. Yeah, the Negan stuff should have been better. Jeffrey Dean Morgan did great. I think he's a great Negan. But this season is just really, you know.
Okay.
It's really catching up. And then obviously...
And this, yeah. I know obviously not like the current episodes, but I believe past seasons are on Netflix, right?
They all should be.
Okay.
They all should be. I mean, I can talk about that in the next one. What I normally do, just have it. And if you and Haven want to watch them, just borrow from me.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so Walking Dead, okay. Season 9, my season finale.
I don't know if I want to go back and start from the beginning again.
No, I'll give you where you left off.
I've seen the first two or three seasons like three times.
Yeah, I'll give you where you left off.
Yeah, I would say maybe starting from like season 5 or 6.
Okay.
Wherever it is. I'll look it up. I'll let you know where exactly I was. And if you want to pass one off, we'll figure that out next time we hang out.
Yes. But going into the next subject, and so has to do with Walking Dead, I'm just going to talk for a few minutes. I don't really have a lot to say about Black Friday stuff this year. I don't know. I don't even know what you picked up.
Actually, I was good. I didn't get anything.
Lucky. So
I was really tempted, but I stayed away. I think part of it is just because of my birthday. My birthday was on Thursday, if you weren't aware. My birthday landed on Thanksgiving this year, and I was kind of holding out to see what I would get for my birthday before going and doing Black Friday shopping. But being we had Thanksgiving on Thursday, we did a lot of my birthday stuff on Friday. Mm-hmm. So I ended up just kind of lucking out and missing it because I was busy. I didn't have, like, you know, a lot of times what will happen is I'll be like, I'm going to be good and I'm not going to get things for Black Friday. And then Black Friday rolls around and I'll be like sitting at home and I'll like just check Amazon quick. And then all of a sudden there's like $1,000 worth of stuff in my Amazon cart. And this year I stayed busy and I actually had like, we did my birthday stuff in the morning and then we had a Christmas party that evening. So I stayed busy enough all day Friday that I just didn't get the chance to do any shopping. And I'm grateful for that because of my own self-discipline. I'm grateful that I was busy on Black Friday this year.
I'm going to somewhat match you in that one, is that I did go out Black Friday shopping. Mm-hmm. But I only picked up a handful of things, but it was more or less, you know, my wonderful mom and sister saying, go buy it, we'll give you the money, but then you got to hold on to it or wait for Christmas.
Right.
So the only two things that I picked up to keep for me, and the only thing I was going to pick up in general was every year, because, you know, I got to have my physical copies of things, is I actually pick up at Target the previous season of Walking Dead. It's always $10.
Okay.
So I knew going in, at the very least, I was going to pick up Walking Dead Season 8 for $10. Mm-hmm. And one thing Target did that I like is that the past few years they only had the DVD. This year they had the Blu-ray for $10. Okay. So I nabbed that. And then I think it was $9. It was Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Okay.
So I bought that for $9. And then a few of the other ones that I got that I have to wait for, I picked up Incredibles 2 and Ant-Man and the Wasp. What else did I pick up? I picked up some other little movies for Dad for Christmas, like $2-3 movies.
And I think that's another area where I think it helped me a lot, because that was one of my weak points. Mm-hmm. I was always like buying movies. And a lot of video games too, but I mean, just movies, I would just go crazy. Like every time I was in Walmart, every time I was on Amazon, there was, I'd pick up another Blu-ray or a couple more. And it was bad. And I was proud of my collection, but I wasn't proud of how much money I was spending. And then in like January or February, Haven and I got rid of our entire movie collections. We went full digital. The movies we cared about, we transferred through a disc to digital service, and the movies we didn't care about, we just left off the list. And then we started building up like a new digital library, and I've got like a digital media server set up so we can watch them, around the house, like on wireless and stuff like that. You can see it behind me, the tablet right back there. That's my media server now. I've got it all set up just like for streaming movies and music and stuff like that now.
Yes.
But so that's helped me out a lot, because it's kind of put in perspective the movies that I actually want to go back and rewatch and the movies that, I frequently go back to. It's kind of just put my viewing habits and how much money I spend on movies into perspective. And it also makes it a lot easier because, you get digital deals on movies all the time that, yes, you might not get on physical editions.
And that's why I just wait for Black Friday to pick up a lot of the movies that I want. Because, again, I'm more, I got to have physical. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned games. The only game that I picked up, and it was honestly just an impulse buy, it was L.A. Noire that I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
It was $10 on Switch at GameStop.
Yeah.
So that was the only game that I picked up. And other than that, outside of the movies that, like I said, a couple of them I had to divvy up between my mom and my sister that they're just going to give it to me for Christmas, and I'm mm-hmm. surprised. Oh, the other one I picked up for $10 because I grew up watching this guy, Mr. Rogers, Won't You Be My Neighbor, documentary came out. It was $10. I had to. Mm-hmm. I adore Mr. Rogers. I watched him. Many memories of watching that show when I was younger.
Yeah.
So, But really, that's when I go out on Black Friday, it's mainly just for movies. And it seems just every year, I know I go to Target, I pick up the one Walking Dead previous season, and that's just really about all that I look for. Because, I don't really... I'm at the point where I don't need a TV, I don't need a computer, I don't need anything like that. So I have no real reason to go Black Friday shopping, but... I mean, just to pick up a couple of movies that I want, that I know I'll watch, and to get them cheap like that, that's why I do. I mean, obviously, Ant-Man and the Wasp and Incredibles 2, I think I paid $20. I overpaid. I think Best Buy had it for like $16.99 or $17.99. So, but they were movies that obviously I'm going to sit down and watch, and those are the ones, I make sure to divvy.
Yeah.
At least for now, because I can wait a month. But it just really depends on what you're really into, what you look for. I mean, for me, I don't play, even with the games, though, I don't play as many games anymore. And there were some good deals mm-hmm. on games. I mean, I got handed to everyone's favorite company, GameStop. They really, honestly, have been stepping up their game for Black Friday.
Yeah.
Even just by a little bit. Like, I know you're not really into the sports stuff, Tyler, but, all the sports games across the board, Madden, FIFA, they're always $27 over there.
Okay.
Which is good, because considering Target and Walmart usually have them for $30 or $35, so you're saving $3, and especially if you have to buy multiples of the games for people,
yeah,
you're getting them cheaper. And GameStop seems to be doing a little more with the new stuff on Black Friday than just focused on pushing their pre-owned, because mm-hmm. they finally got with the record with that one to do it. And a lot of the deals were the same. I mean, almost anywhere you went, outside of a few price differentials here and there, but if it was like a normal game, like I went with a friend of mine, and his uncle wanted the new Dragon Quest for PS4. Anywhere you went, it was $35. So it's like I could have gone anywhere to get it.
I've been wanting to pick that one up too, but I was going to pick it up for PC, so I'm waiting for a Steam sale to get that one.
So it's, to me, it's just one of those things. If you enjoy going, go. You know, I just collect some movies. I go home and, you know, was it crazy? Nah. I mean, yes, it was busy, but it's not like what you would see or what it normally was. Like when we went to Target, there were a lot of people there. Yes, but walked right in. Everyone was nice. I remember I was looking specifically for The Walking Dead, and I looked up and there was a couple standing there, and they were kind of looking over the movies, and I saw they had it. I just asked them, you know, where'd you guys find it? Do they have any more? And, you know, they said, yeah, I think it's around the other side. So I went to try and look, and they were able to kind of sneak around first, and they got me a copy. They handed me a copy of it. So, you know, it's, you know, you be nice to people. It's not going to be the crap show that it normally is of throwing punches and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you got to just be nice to people and take care of them. And yes, there were a lot of people there. And yes, obviously some of the big things sold that fast. Like I know Sony had a deal with a PS4 Spider-Man for $200.
Yeah.
Great deal for terabyte. Nintendo, I think actually GameStop was the main one that sold out of it. But anywhere you went, they had a Switch with Mario Kart 8 for $300. Mm-hmm. That was everywhere. GameStop had an offer where any console you bought, I think except for the Spider-Man one, you also got a $50 gift card.
Yeah.
So obviously, that sold out in no time, you mm-hmm. know, and obviously, so big things did sell out, but there were still a lot of good deals left to be had.
Yeah.
If this was maybe 10 years ago, those deals would have been gone probably even sooner.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do want to point this out. I do want to mention one quick thing, and this kind of goes back and forth to me, but I read this and I found this interesting. A lot of people complain about these retails being open on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I understand that. I used to work at Walgreens. We were open every day. The only day we closed was we had a couple hurricanes and we had to be closed because, you know, our lives are more important than
that. Yeah.
But I read this. I found this interesting. There are people out there, Tyler, that don't celebrate the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe they celebrate but they don't have any family. Like maybe they moved.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mind working. You know? Because every place does give them time and a half. So it's one thing for an employer to be like, hey, we're going to be open. And obviously, the first they ask for the volunteers. But there have been retailers that more or less force you to show up, who force you to work. And obviously, that's not fair. But there are people out there that, you know, obviously, you know, other people will be like, oh, I'm sorry, you have to work these hours. Some just don't care. You know, they want the extra money.
Yeah.
So I kind of go along with them for that. But, you know, the retailers got to realize, too, you know, you can't force people to work, especially on a holiday, time and a half or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do have a handful of people, like I remember working at Walgreens and we had an older lady that was actually fantastic, super friendly. She didn't care. You know, she her kids were all grown up, moved out, had done their own thing. It was just her and her husband, and she always worked. She worked the three majors, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, just to be an extra body to let us, who may have some family or friends that we want to go see, just to have off.
Yeah.
And she just didn't care. And there are people out there that just don't care. They're just like, yeah, I mean, this Thanksgiving is just another day for us. So it's like, whatever. So that's my little story on that. So Black Friday was a good, you know, mm-hmm. I did get some movies to sit down and watch, Ellie Noir.
Good.
And moving on, we got one more topic to talk about. And I think this is the big one. So last Friday,
mm-hmm.
two Fridays ago, right before Black Friday,
mm-hmm.
A little game called out called Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. And wow, is it back to the nostalgia kick actually killing me. I know you're busting out your Pokeball there. I was stupid and forgot to bring mine.
Really?
Yeah, I had it charging and I was like trying to grab it because I had to do some things this morning to go to the post office and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make sure, like, I almost forgot this, you know, what we jot our topics down on. And as you can see there, Tyler's got it up.
If you're watching it, you can see I've got mine. I got my controller, and it's pretty much the coolest thing ever.
Yes, yeah, so you can use that as... Yeah.
You didn't get yours originally, did you?
No,
you bought yours after the fact?
I did, because here's the thing. Like, I thought it was cool. I initially had the $100 bundle pre-ordered.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, I don't know if I really want it. Let me just move it down to the $60 one. I'll save $40.
Yeah.
Then after watching Tyler and my friend Christy, who listens to the podcast, play, I was like, screw it. I got to get this thing, too.
Yeah.
So I got it. And I love walking around with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me feel awesome.
Yeah.
Walking around with it.
That's pretty great.
You know, it's the game is just fun. You know, it is different. I know a lot of people, especially maybe like I mean, not me, because I just like to play the game for fun.
Yeah.
But there are people our age who've been with Pokemon for so long, they're like, oh, this is so easy. It's supposed to be a game that's easy for anybody to pick up and play, including children, mm-hmm. which, honestly, that's what it's for. Yes, it's a remake of the Kanto. Yes, it's a remake of Red, Blue, Yellow, whatever. But it's for children, too, so it's got to be easy for them to pick up and play.
And a lot of the changes they've made are just such good quality of life changes. Yes. I know some people, like you were saying, they were saying it's easy. They say it takes away from, like, the hardcore elements, which I've never thought of Pokemon as, like, a hardcore RPG to begin with, right. But... there are some people that are saying that, you know, it takes away from kind of like some of the more hardcore elements by not doing random encounters, by showing the Pokemon on the world map. And I love it. I think it saves time, and it helps you realize if there are any around that you might be missing. Where originally, I remember playing through it as a kid, and there were always those few where I'm like, I didn't find them, and I don't know where to find them, and it's driving me crazy that my Pokédex isn't complete. And now it's like, they just pop up. And so it's easier to just wander around for a little bit, looking for the one you want, rather than, you know, slowly going through, like, turn-based encounter after turn-based encounter, trying to find where the heck you might have missed that one Pokémon that you don't have.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously one of the reasons why they did that is for the catch combos that you get. If you catch the same one over and over again, you have a better chance of finding the shiny variant of it.
Yeah, or just more powerful.
Yeah.
If, you know, again, I'm not super into, like, competitive play and stuff like that, but if you're going for, like, the meta game and you're into, like, their individual values and all that, they've kind of overhauled their IVs a little bit so that... catch combos make it easier to find ones with high IVs, and there's like a judging and stat view feature that make it easier to look at their IVs and see if it's something that you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me personally, I really don't care about any of that. I play the game for fun. I play the game, you know, to... even if I just complete the Pokedex, I don't care if I have the absolute weakest one or the absolute strongest one. It's the fact that I caught it and it's in my Pokedex. And I think one of the things that I really enjoyed, which they did do for a lot of the later games, is everything that you do, everybody gets experience. You don't need the experience share anymore. They changed it in a way to where you just catch the Pokemon now to gain experience. Outside of a few battles, like you battle Snorlax and the birds and Mewtwo and everything.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And then obviously there's plenty of trainer battles out there to level up. And, you know, your guys do gain experience that way. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And I've been playing it more in handheld mode. I tried playing it with the Joy-Con. I tried playing it with the football. It works. But
there's always some erratic throws.
There is.
At first, my first like hour or two with the game, I was like, okay, this isn't so bad. You know, like once you get used to it, it's fine. But there's always those weird ones, like, you know, where you take it and you, like, line it up. And it tells you. It even tells you, like, you know, the button to throw it is, like, get ready. You hit the button that says get ready. And it tells you, you know, line up the Pokeball. And if you kind of, like, sit here, hold the Pokeball out in front of you, and then hit get ready, and just kind of flick it forward, that's how I get the most success. If you actually, like, pretend to throw it... or if you put any sort of, you know, curve, if instead of doing it just like a flick forward, if you flick like to the sides or something like that, you're going to end up throwing like way off base. Sometimes it just straight up does it opposite. There are times where I flick one direction and it throws it in the complete opposite direction. It's a little bit too erratic to be like a great system. Most of the time it works. I'd say about 85% of the time it worked fine for me. But it was also annoying enough that... handheld mode was the easiest way to play it because then you don't have to worry about the motion so much.
And one thing that, you know, I was worried about seeing that got rectified pretty quick is that not only after all the trainer battles do they give you money, but they give you Pokeballs or Great Balls.
Oh yeah, you get like a surplus. I've never had to go buy Pokeballs.
I did first, like when I first started the game, I bought some. Because they're 100 Pokedollars a piece. They're normally 200. But even in the game itself, there's so many items. And then if you pick up just one, it doesn't just say you found a Pokeball. It'll say you picked up 5 Pokeballs.
Yeah.
So like even for me right now, you know, I've been on a little bit of a break. So I beat the main story. I'm going back to do everything else.
I haven't even gotten that far. I've just been like wandering around.
Nah, I mean, you get lost to it.
I'm a little over halfway. I think I'm getting ready to fight the fifth gym, I think.
Yeah, like I have over 300 Pokeballs right now. And obviously, like I was just kind of running through the story to level up and do everything and play the game. But now that I'm done with that, you know, I caught all three birds, so I'm working on Mewtwo right now.
Yeah. Another thing, if you get the set, I know we mentioned how great the Pokeball is, the Pokeball controller. This doesn't just work as a controller for the game. This works for Pokemon Let's Go and Pokemon Go. So if you're not aware, this can hold a Pokemon from Pokemon Let's Go, and it'll count your steps just like Pokemon Go will. And you can like level up your Pokemon and get new items and stuff like that. Just by carrying this on your waist.
Yes.
Drop a Pokeball in and just start walking. Or drop a Pokemon into the Pokeball and just start walking. And this gives you so much experience. It's not even like negligible. I remember using the Poke Walker back for Heart Gold and Soul Silver. And those you could hold all day and you'd get like one level on your Pokemon. This one, I'll routinely come home after a day at work and my Pokemon will raise like 15 levels or something like that. Like it's insane. This is, it's a pretty valuable accessory if you have the game.
Yeah, so I wasted an extra $10 on mine.
Yeah. And then you connect it to Pokemon Go and it'll automatically spin Pokestops and it'll tell you when there's Pokemon nearby. And all you have to do is click the button and it'll spin Pokestops automatically. You just leave it on and it'll do it for you. And if it sees a Pokemon nearby, all you have to do is click the button and it'll try to catch the Pokemon for you. So even if you just play Pokemon Go, you can connect it to your phone. If you're depending on how into it you are, this also just works as like a extra accessory for your phone. And they work pretty seamlessly back and forth. Like I connect it to my phone when I leave the house. I connect it to the Switch when I'm here. And it stays on me all the time. Yes. Since the game came out, I have not left home without this. It's just it's good for everything. It helps you in your Switch game and it helps you in your mobile, like your Pokemon Go app.
Great.
It's just all around a really good device.
Yeah, and you know that's why I went out and bought one for myself.
Yeah,
and I mean I love the game, I really do. I thought it was very easy pick up and play. It brought me back because I've always wanted to go back and play Yellow again, but I was like, I don't want to do the grinding. This just gave me the way out for it, and definitely worth picking up. Any Pokemon fan would love it. If you're an old school fan, pick it up, and you don't want to deal with because I know a couple friends that are like, yeah, I love Pokemon, but I don't want to deal with like.
Yeah,
new ones.
So as many people as are complaining about the new stuff, there are just as many people complain about like, you know, how they made it too easy and how they took away a lot of the new things. There are just as many players that complain about having all the new stuff.
Absolutely.
There are people that hate Mega Evolutions and there are people that don't understand how like IVs work and things like that and just want an easy, fun game like they used to have when they were 6 years old playing on their Game Boy Color. And this is just all around that game.
Absolutely, it is. And honestly, it's one I'll be playing for a while. Obviously, yeah. Smash Brothers comes out, I think, next week or something like that. So that's going to kind of put that on the
7th.
But just a fun game.
Yeah. I'd say 8.5? Maybe a 9?
I'd stick with 8.5 just because I'm not the biggest fan of the motion controls on it.
But, right.
I
guess that's true. I'll say 8.5 for now. I will bump my score up to a 9 if they will allow you to use your whatever control scheme you like best at any time.
Yes.
It is kind of frustrating that you have to play it. And even if you undock it, but you use one of the Joy-Cons like undocked from the Switch, you still have to use the motion controls. Mm-hmm. The only way that you can just tap a button to throw a Pokeball is if both Joy-Cons are slotted into the Switch and the Switch is off of the dock.
Yes.
It doesn't give you the option to do that if you are in console mode or if you are in mobile mode but detached Joy-Cons. There's only one way that you can kind of do old school Pokemon catching. And so yeah, I would say that's a good concession. I hadn't even thought that.
Yes.
But yeah, I would say the same thing. I would bump my score up to a 9 if they would update this game to support different control schemes.
Which they very well could in the future.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with that. I love the game. My back teeth are floating, Tyler. You know what I mean? Guys, thanks so much again for watching episode 12, 13, whatever we're on.
13.
13. We'll be back in 2 weeks with some more. We'll talk Smash Brothers, Crimes of Grindelwald, some more movies. And again, thank you guys so much for watching.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for more.
See ya.
See you later.